Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the Best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Obviously, you got some games that are going to be more exciting than others. And one that I am really looking forward to is Miami at Philadelphia. I think that's going to be a huge game for both of these teams. Now, look, each team will be fine, right? If they, whichever team loses will be fine. They're both 5-1. They're both going to make the playoffs. But, Rob, for Miami, the teams they've beaten are a combined 5-24. I said 5-18 yesterday. I was wrong. It's actually 5-24. It's even worse. And then the one time they stepped up in pedigree and played an elite team, Buffalo, they got shellacked by 28 points. I don't think Miami's fugazi, but if they get destroyed by Philadelphia, then you have to wonder, like, are they more style than substance? On the other hand, Philadelphia coming off a bad loss to the Jets. They haven't really played well all season. Jalen Hurts not having as good of a year as last year. Two new coordinators on each side of the ball. Like, they got, and they're at home. I think it's big for them. They need to win this. And Rob, here's the other thing with Philadelphia. I don't know if you've seen this. Their schedule is about to get ridiculous. Not tough, not hard, ridiculous. All right, so they got Washington after the Miami. Washington is not a great team, but it is a division rival, and they beat Philadelphia last year with Jalen Hurts playing. Then they got Dallas, Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco, Dallas, Seattle.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this, they need to get this win. They need to stack up wins. Because they're not going, I can't imagine they go through that gauntlet undefeated. If they can go through it with just one or two losses, they should be overjoyed. So, the big game, but here's what I want to ask you, Rob, because these are two young quarterbacks and obviously connected, University of Alabama, both of them. Tua took Jalen's job, and Jalen ended up going and finishing at Oklahoma. So let me ask you, both having, you know, have had their moments. Jalen, obviously fantastic last year. This year, okay, but not what he was last year. Tua had injury issues, but having a great year. And right now, the MVP front runner. So I would like to ask you this. Which quarterback would you rather have? If you were running a team, which quarterback would you rather have, Tua or Hurts?
I'm going to take Tua, and only for one reason. Jalen Hurts had what, had he not been injured, probably would have been an MVP season, Chris, last year.
Maybe.
And, yeah, but if he wasn't injured, because he was off to it. He played well, and he had an unbelievable Super Bowl.
He didn't throw a ton of touchdowns, but he was efficient,
right,
and he ran for a bunch, too.
And he finished second to Mahomes, you know, last year in the MVP. So I just think that he was on his way, or at least had a great shot at it. And I don't know. I just look at him now, Chris, and it's not off of the first five or six games. A, I don't think he could play better than he played last year. I think that was that until I see that again or more than once or twice, will I believe that that's who he is. I'm not convinced of that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think that he like took that step and now this is what he's going to get every year. That was a phenomenal year out of nowhere, so to speak. And I'm giving credit. I'm not saying he could play. Obviously, played at Alabama. You know what I mean. I'm not trying to.
Right.
I'm just saying. Right. I'm just saying. I need to see that again. And then this year, already he has more interceptions this year than of course last year. He has 7 already. We're only what 6 games into the year. He had only 7 last year. Chris.
6 last year.
7 this year.
In 15 games.
He has his lowest passer rating since his rookie year. So he dropped off there. And on pace for a career high in sacks as well. So he's what he was able to do the last year doesn't seem like it's working so far. That doesn't mean that it can't work, but it's not working so far. Tua, I think, Chris, still has an upside. I don't know if we've got the finished product with Tua. Last year, the injuries kind of derailed him. We did see some big-time moments. This year, I don't worry about the schedule as much as him. What I do like, Chris, is that team and offense doesn't play down to the competition. That if they're a bad team, they throttle you. They beat you like they're supposed to. Right. I love to see that. You know, not like, oh, well, they're just skating by and they barely beat this bad team. No, bad teams coming to town, guess what? They're going to trash them. And do what they're supposed to. And that 70-point game, flukish, whatever you want to call it, it tells you kind of what he's capable of. And then I go back to the last year, Chris, we saw that game in Baltimore. Remember that big comeback? And there was one other game I just cannot remember. But he had 2 games for the ages where he brought them back, was composed, and played well. I still think there's another side or another level for him. And maybe that level is just consistency and playing a full year or whatever. But I think Tua, I would take Tua.
Yeah, I would go with Hurts. And like you, I like them both. I'm not ripping Tua. I'd be happy to have him. But I would go with Hurts. And my main reason, Rob, and you can't throw this out, and I'm surprised you didn't even mention it, is the injuries. The health. With Hurts, so far, that hasn't even been a question. With Tua, that's the biggest question, especially when he's got that talent around him. The biggest question is he going to stay healthy? He was injured in college, and he's been injured in the NFL. So that's a big thing for me. I do think that both of them can grow. And I think Jalen's got just as much room to grow as Tua because Jalen's still far from a finished product as a passer. And I think because of his character, because of his work ethic, and Tua's high character, high work ethic as well. But Jalen, Rob, we saw it, and you've mentioned it before. We've had people tell us in Philadelphia early in his career, second year, I love the kid. He's a leader. He's got all the intangibles. He just can't throw.
Right. We're not sure he's good enough to throw to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's what people were saying.
And then last year, he threw it great. Threw for 3,700 yards, threw for 22 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions, as you said, over 101 passer rating. So I do think he will work on it consistently enough to even improve as a passer. And I think I was surprised you said you don't think he can have a better year than last year. Like I said, he only threw 22 touchdowns last year. So I think he can definitely improve
that. But he had 35 total with the running touchdowns. I mean, that's a lot of touchdowns.
He's going to get a lot just because of their, you know, at the goal line. He's obviously a big, strong guy.
He had 5,500.
He's going to get a lot of touchdowns running at the goal line.
No,
but even 35 touchdowns, I think he can get that again. When you combine them, running and passing, I definitely think he can play at that level a few times in his career. And the interesting thing this year, Rob, he is throwing it more. And he does also have a new offensive coordinator. So that's an adjustment. But last year only threw it about 30 times a game. This year, 35 a game. So they might – maybe that's too much right now, or, you know, maybe he's going to be a guy that doesn't throw it as much. But, I would rather have Hurts, like I said, because he's more, you know, durable. And I think he's got a lot of room to grow. And Tua does as well. And look, they both have great talent around them.
No doubt. Let me
say, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are a fantastic duo. Dallas Goedert, they got a run game. Miami's got a great, you know, obviously supporting cast, if you can even call it that, with Tyreek Hill and company. I think Mike McDaniel is a superior play caller to what they have in Philadelphia, particularly now that Shane Steichen is gone. But, I would go with Tua or with Hurts. You would go with Tua.
Let me give you this, too, real quick. Last year, even with the injury, Chris, Tua had the 25 passing touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That was in 12.5 games. So this year is better, but it's not a huge jump from what he was doing. You know what I mean? Like, this is – like, he was doing this kind of stuff numbers-wise last year when he got hurt. So it's not like, oh, wow, look at what Tua's doing. How is he doing this? And he has never done this before. He's kind of on pace of what he has done last year. So,
I think Tua, to me – and look, again, I think he's the MVP right now. But he's only had, like, 3 great games this year. I mean, the Chargers, where they won by 2, he had 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 466 yards, obviously a great game. Next game against New England, that's a bad team, Rob, that they only beat by a touchdown. 1 touchdown, 1 pick. The next game, great against Denver, that's when they scored 70. 309 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, you're going to get people's
attention Buffalo,
with that.
They obviously got housed by Buffalo. He had 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Giants, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And then Carolina, 3 touchdowns, no picks. So he's really – you know, been a little, a tad up and down, and been a little, you know, been had the 3 great games. But he also, Rob, did see a huge bump in his stats and production with Tyreek Hill. And as good as A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are, they ain't Tyreek Hill. He's throwing for 90 more yards a game, 2.5 more yards per attempt, far more touchdowns and fewer interceptions, and his passer rating is up 20 points. Since Tyreek Hill's
you
been
better
there.
So have those numbers with that guy, too. No doubt. No doubt about it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We welcome in a friend of the show, senior NFL writer for The Athletic, the great Mike Sando. Mike, how are you?
What's happening?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great. We are great. We are great. You've got the Football 100, the story of the greatest players in NFL history, coming out October 24th. And that is, you actually rank the top 100 players in the history of the league, correct?
We did, yeah. Absolutely. It was really fun to do.
I got to admit, I got a problem with your list.
I do, too. I don't agree with everything on there either. You know, it was Dan Pompey and I had the final kind of say on the order, but we didn't agree with on everything. And,
right.
And we agreed. There's definitely some fun stuff to debate. What you got? What you got?
Okay, so your number one guy, Tom Brady. So do you not factor in the cheating scandal, the suspension? Do you not factor in Bill Belichick and what they cheated?
Yeah.
I mean, that should be a part of the equation. I'm always amazed at how football does players don't get held accountable for cheating, but in baseball they're held to a different standard. Just explain that to me, how that doesn't factor in.
So what? I mean, we could spend a whole show trying to figure out what role any potential cheating played. We don't know what exactly happened. We know that the minute Tom Brady left the Patriots, they've had a really hard time winning any games.
That has nothing to do, Mike, with that has nothing to do. Hold on, Mike, let's do this. That has nothing to do with he was suspended by the league. Whether we agree with it or what evidence we saw, he was suspended. Can we agree on that?
He was suspended.
Okay. Bill Belichick got the largest fine for any NFL coach in the history of the league. Can we agree on that?
I don't know.
Why not? What do you mean you can't agree on that? Is that not fact?
I don't know what his fine was in the history of all
that. Oh, it's the largest fine. I just want to know that, so that didn't factor into your equation. That's what I'm asking.
No, we never spent 1 minute talking about
okay.
that.
Okay, all right.
So, but would you take Brady out? Would you not put him in the top 100?
I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame on a first ballot as a cheater. I wouldn't.
Yeah, well, you're an outlier on that. I would say most people wouldn't agree with that.
I agree with that.
But if you want to take that stand, that's great. I could say O.J. Simpson shouldn't be on the list either, right?
O.J. Simpson was suspended by the league or not? And he was acquitted in a court of law. So it's apples and oranges.
I mean, you've come up with anything.
Was he acquitted? Was he acquitted, yes or no? Was he acquitted?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm saying you've come up with anything.
No, it's not. It's black and white, Mike. I'm just saying.
Look, I would have Brady on the list. I wouldn't have him number one because I think he's the greatest quarterback. I don't think he's the greatest football player. But let me ask you this. How difficult was it for you to compare the different eras? Because you've only got four active players in there right now. We got Aaron Rodgers, 21, Aaron Donald, 26, Julio Jones, 56. And we're going to obviously talk about this, Patrick Mahomes, 98. But how difficult was it for you comparing eras? And how'd you do it? Because Rob and I talk all the time about how when you look at the older quarterbacks' numbers, I mean, a person that doesn't consider era, the different rules, things like that, they'll look at Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, and others.
Joe Namath, right,
and be like, these dudes were terrible, you know, based on numbers. So how'd you guys compare all that?
So I think it's harder at some positions than others. For me, for wide receivers and running backs, I devised a way to compare production across eras. And the way to do that for wide receivers, for example, I looked at all the great receivers, and I determined, looking at all their careers, that really they have about eight really great seasons usually, the top guys. You're not going to have many guys that have a 12 or 15 years where they're great every year, right? So I decided I would take the eight best years of every receiver in history and measure where they finished against their peers in each one of those 8 years in receiving yards. How close were they? If they led the league, they're in the top percentile, right? If they didn't, they were a little bit below. And so you have Jerry Rice led the league and Don Hutson led the league, you know, like six times or more. So their eight best years were the eight best years of any receivers in history. When I did that for all the receivers, Randy Moss was third. A surprise was Torrey Holt was fourth. Wow. Steve Largent was fifth. That was a surprise, but Torrey Holt had super elite production his whole career, right, and then was gone. Didn't hang around to get all the records, but super elite. Steve Largent, Julio Jones, James Lofton was up there, and I think James Lofton didn't even make the list, so you could certainly make a case for him. But I did do that in advocating for the wide receivers. I did the same thing for running backs, except I made it scrimmage yards so we could recognize guys like Marshall Faulk and Roger Craig, who were great also producers in the passing game, right? Not just rushers. They were great rushers who did it that way. So that's how I did it for those two. I think with some of the other ones, you're right. It's very difficult to know how good, you know, Mel Hine was as a center, right? I mean, you know, you just wouldn't know. You have to look at, you have to respect some of the other research that's been done. You have to look at, you know, the careers that they had and the all-pro selections and some of those things as you go further back. Dan Pompey and I were laughing about this today. We're like, what if we did this list and we had, like, number one, Otto Graham, number two, Don Hutson, and number three, you know, somebody else from that era? Like, no one would even be able to really argue with us.
Right.
Like, they wouldn't even know.
Well, right. That's always a problem, is that people, in order to make a list viable, you sometimes got to put people who people know, and you just can't go back and put the old guys. Let me ask you about the Joe Montana at number six and his score of 91. Is it Joe Montana's? I mean, he played in the era where quarterbacks got really beat up, but I always look at his Super Bowl run of 4-0. 11 touchdowns, no picks, three MVPs, two games he had to throw touchdowns to win the Super Bowl, two with Jerry Rice, two without Jerry Rice. I don't know if anybody's resume is as great as that.
Absolutely. No, I agree. I think Joe Montana, there's probably 150 people who could be in the top 100, and there's probably 20 people who could be in the top 10, and there's probably five people who could be number one, right, in this thing. So Montana, if we want to make a case for him for the greatest, I would say I'm not going to say that would be idiotic. We had Jim Brown, actually. I think when we first started this, it's been a few years when we did the initial list before we did it for the book. I think we had Jim Brown number one. And then what happened for why Brady went up to the top was because of the change team and win the Super Bowl right away. We were like, dang, you know, that does, if you're not going to discount him for the reasons you said, then we thought that carried a lot of weight with him. Montana, though, phenomenal. I mean, just a... You know, at one point he might have been the number one, right? And do we get a little recency bias? How do we take into account the fact that Brady was protected by different rules and that type of stuff?
And Brady lost to Eli Manning twice in the Super Bowl. That's always something that we always.
Yeah.
There are some NFL players, Hall of Famers we've talked to, who don't think Eli deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I don't know how you could not put him in the Hall of Fame when you think about two signature throws. He beat the Patriots, the 18-0 Patriots, you know, and all the things, signature throws. He didn't have the greatest regular season, but...
What's your criteria? Like, you could, if I was to make a case against Eli Manning, I'd say, okay, was he ever one of the five best quarterbacks in the league?
It's hard because of what he was able to accomplish in those moments. It wasn't like he won two Super Bowls and he had nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? He has two signature throws that without them, the Giants don't win either of those Super Bowls.
I
agree.
Eli's not on the list.
Won two also, you know, right, that sort of thing.
Let me ask you. Now, Patrick Mahomes is number 98. Is that correct?
Yes. So we really wrestled with him because when we first started this thing, like, we didn't even have him on there because we're like, he hadn't only played a few years. And then he added, like, he went to another Super Bowl, won another Super Bowl, and we were like, you know what? We are going to trust. Number one, I think Mahomes, unlike Joe Montana, unlike Tom Brady, unlike just about anyone on here, has shown an ability to go to the Super Bowl, win it, be the best player without even having a top half of the league defense. Okay?
Right.
Tom Brady, top 10 defenses all the way through. You know who allowed the fewest points in the 80s? The 49ers. Okay? Look at their defense. Unbelievable. They were winning those Super Bowls 21-16, right? Or whatever the score was. Right. So Mahomes has actually been able to drive the success with sometimes even bad defenses. And so I made the case for, okay, you know, if he retired today, would we, you know, would you make a case against it? I just think I felt good putting him low on the list, just accounting for him in that realm. But obviously, it's an incomplete career.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's the best quarterback I've seen, and I don't put him as the GOAT because obviously he's got to accomplish a lot more. But I would imagine you feel like when this is done in 15, 20 years from now, he's gonna be around that top 10 somewhere, if not higher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, unless he just suddenly stops being good or doesn't win another chance. But, like, you don't have to figure he's going to win a couple more Super Bowls, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think he's going to be a top – I think he'd be a top five player, you know, when it's all said and done. He really is special.
Yep. Well, that's our man Mike Sando. Great stuff, Mike. We appreciate it. Check it out. It's coming out October 24th, and that's just 4 days away. It's the Football 100, the story of the greatest players in NFL history. Thanks a lot, Mike. We appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Mike.
I love it. I appreciate the back and forth. We'll talk to you guys.
Hey, it would be boring without it, Mike. You know it.
When we were doing the Brady thing, I was like, hey, if we didn't have Brady number one, then everybody, that's all they'd be asking us about. How's Brady number one? You're the first one. You guys are different. You're the first one who said, what are you doing putting Brady number one? I appreciate it.
The Odd Couple is a different show. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, love it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Mark Schler, a friend of both of ours, colleague at Fox Sports, was on the Herd with Colin Cowherd, Rob, this week, and he was talking about what the future could hold for Russell Wilson in Denver, and here's what he said.
I would be shocked if Russell Wilson makes it past this year, if he's the quarterback of the Denver Broncos next year. I would be shocked. And it's not that Russell Wilson is playing terrible football. I mean, Thursday night notwithstanding, he was bad Thursday night. But it's not that he's playing terrible football, but he's not playing winning football, and he's not elevating the players around him. And so from that standpoint, I think it's time to clean house, and it's time to, you know, get new players.
Rob, what do you think about that? This is his second year with the Broncos. Obviously, he's got that huge contract that hadn't even started yet. They could move off of him. Here's how they could do it, Rob. They could release him some point in the offseason, as long as it's by a certain date. I don't know the exact date. I feel like it's five games into next season, but I don't have the exact date, but they can release him at some point after this season and then smooth out the remaining cap. They owe him like, it'd be like 80 something million dollars. They could smooth that out over the next 2 years. And so it'd be about a $40 million hit each year. Rob G, is that, that's basically it, right?
Yeah, you're right on it, Chris. According to SpotTrack, the Broncos could designate Russell Wilson as a post-June 1 release in the first few days of the 2024 league year. Doing so, put him on the hook for $39 million in dead cap for 2024 and $35.4 million dead cap 2024 and $49.6 million in 2025 if they spread out his option bonus. So a lot of money.
I disagree with that. And the whole notion that if you wanted to blame Russell Wilson last year, Chris, I'm all on board. This team has a lot of issues, and it's not just him. That's just an easy excuse to say clean house. Slaver says, oh, yeah, I should just clean house. Yeah, we could clean house. How about starting with Sean Payton, who was supposed to come and get this thing turned around? Oh, yeah, he's a quarterback whisperer. Oh, he'll get Sean. He'll get Russell Wilson together. He's this, he's that. He's done an awful job. You want to pour ketchup on a contract and eat it? Eat Sean Payton's contract. And don't tell me he makes too much money and you can't do it. You can do whatever you want. The family that owns the Denver Broncos are one of the richest families in this country. Well, eating $20 or $30 million or whatever is left on his deal is not going to break them.
He makes, Rob, to your point, looks like it's $18 million a year for 5 years. Now, here's the thing, because people, you're right. That's what people are saying. No way, with that contract. So let's say it was 4 years, $18 million left on it. That would be what? 4 years, $72 million, right? That is, I guess, the equivalent, roughly. It's actually a little less than they would be paying Russell Wilson to go away. So I'm just saying, if you want to say it's too much money to eat and hire another guy, well, if you let Russell Wilson go, you're not getting anything from him, and you're going to be, it's going to be 80-something million dollars on your cap the next 2 years. So it's kind of the similar
right,
situation.
But the only better part, Chris, if you get rid of Payton, is you have no dead cap room, that space. Like it doesn't affect you being able to put new people and players, or you're not penalized by it.
No, you're just going to get, yeah, I mean, you will have to pay your new coach.
Right, that's all.
That's just.
But my thing is, to use him as a scapegoat, like if he played like he played last year, Chris, all right, if you want to get rid of him, I'm not going to stand in the way. And I'm not saying he's playing like he's a Pro Bowler or anything. But to use that as the reason why the Denver Broncos are where they are? Nah, I'm sorry. Payton was supposed to be the savior. They had a white horse out in front of Fox when he hopped left the couch from Colin Cowherd, jumped on it, and rode out to Denver. He was supposed to be the Calvary. He was supposed to be the savior. He was supposed to be the Messiah. And instead, he turned out to be Ronald McDonald without the nose and floppy shoes. That's what he is. He's had a bad year in Denver so far as coach there. I'm a 70-piece, some of the losses to some of the teams, Chris, the effort.
The Jets lost.
At home, so many bad moments. And we're only six games into the season?
Well, I think, Rob, you said something a week, or maybe a month ago, or so, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, whatever, about maybe you could trade him, so to speak, to the Chargers. Because if they don't make the playoffs, Brandon Staley's going to be gone, I would imagine. I thought he should have been gone long ago. But if they want to get rid of Brandon Staley and take Sean Payton, maybe you can get some draft picks for him. That makes some sense to me, because Payton probably wants out of there. Payton would probably love to go to the Chargers if it becomes available. So I think that's one thing. I think whether or not you believe they should keep Russell Wilson or not, and Schlereth, I don't think he was saying, I don't know. I didn't read what he said as they shouldn't keep Russell Wilson. Maybe that's how he feels.
Well, it wasn't. But I think it wasn't was definitive saying, anyway, right. Because he said.
Well, he's not reporting anything. Right. He's just giving an opinion.
I wouldn't be surprised. But that leaves you in a lurch.
No, but I think what he's saying is, because I think, Rob, when you look at the situation, it looks like Sean Payton is clearing house. That's what I mean. I think Schlereth was saying not they should get rid of Russell Wilson. Now, he may feel that way, but I don't think that's what he was saying. I think he was saying, I'd be surprised at the way things are going, not just the record, but Randy Gregory, gone. Frank Clark, gone. Jerry Jeudy on the trade block. There's talk about Cortland Sutton being traded and maybe some of the defensive backs. Like, it looks, Rob, like they are cleaning house, not just with Russell Wilson, but with basically all of their veterans. And that's where, like, we can argue over whether or not they should keep Wilson. He's not the main problem this year. He's playing pretty okay, right? He's not playing like he did in Seattle. He's playing much better than he did last year. And up until last game, he was actually having what you might say was a good year. Not a great year, but a good year. So he's not the only problem, but it looks like, and this is what a lot of people felt like with Sean Payton, that he wasn't going to go down with the ship. That if things went bad, he was going to scapegoat some people. And everybody's pointed at Russell Wilson, but again, it's been other players. It's been guys they just have had recently in Gregory and Clark, veteran players. And so that's where it looks like he is setting it up to tear it all down and then rebuild it, you know, the way he wants to.
Yeah, I get that. I just think, where's his accountability? It wasn't like Chrissy came and went, hey, you know what? This is going to be a total rebuild. Hey, what? No, there were some expectations.
Well, and he said himself he'd be upset if they don't make the playoffs.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like to go from that to well, I've got to be here. We have to clean out everything and start all over. If I'm them, you could have told me that. I could have got an interim coach way cheaper, Chris. And once we did all that, you know what I mean? Brought him along.
Bring you in. Well, the interesting thing will be this. Okay, we all know Russ hasn't lit the world on fire in Denver. But the question, whenever you talk about getting rid of your quarterback and he's not horrible and he's a name guy like a Russell Wilson, like a Dak Prescott in Dallas, not that Dak's playing as poorly as Russ, but the question always becomes, well, who are you replacing him with? And the Broncos, Rob, they do have their first round pick in this upcoming draft. So they could, I mean, who knows if they'll be in position to take Caleb Williams, people like Michael Penix Jr., Drake May, there are other quarterbacks out there. But you and I have talked about it. I mean, who knows? Who knows if any of these guys will be any good? You know, but I mean, heck, he's right down the road from Shedeur Sanders. You know, do you see, you start talking to Deion about if we draft Shedeur, you cool with that? Would you let him come out? You know, or will you make him eligible for the draft? Those are, if they can get, and again, who knows if any of these guys will pan out.
Right, we don't know.
You have no idea. But
doesn't Chris just, Payton gets no blame. There's no responsibility.
No, he clearly. I mean,
if he didn't have the contract, just say he was a coach that they just hired, he would be on the block to get fired, wouldn't he? Like just off of what has happened this year.
Well, you mean like Nat Hackett?
Yeah, like that.
I think this is what protects him, Rob. And look, and I think you'll agree with this. I get it. Like this is how it works. This is what you earn because of his resume. And you've talked about how it's no better than Mike McCarthy's, and it is pretty similar to Mike McCarthy's.
It's close, right.
But that's still a good resume. And because of his resume, he has earned the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't earned where he's beyond reproach. I agree with you. And we have criticized him on this show, both of us. All right. I think he is primarily to blame for what's going on this year. Does that mean I'd fire him? Not necessarily. But I do think he is at the most fault for the for why this thing has been so bad. But because of his resume, Rob, and because it was, we know how bad the Saints were. They were the New Orleans Aints. Because of all that, and he turned them around, won a Super Bowl, he's going to get a lot more rope than a Nat Hackett or a first-year coach, or first-time coach, I should say. And I think that's fair. I mean, I think that's how it should be. You earn certain levels of respect based on what you've done. And so I think that's really the difference. I hear you. It's been, I mean, you can argue Nat Hackett has some moments that just made you scratch your head, like on live TV.
Starting from week one. You remember right, the first game?
Right. And even they started 2-1 and he still had moments. But Peyton, when you look at the 70 piece, when you look at losing to the Jets after all that talk, when you look at the defense going from top 10 to one of the worst in the league, like, you can argue this has been a worse job than Nat Hackett did, but still, he has the resume. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. It's because it's off a rep. If it wasn't right for the rep, you're
and
right.
And he earned that rep. I mean, he did, you know, do a good job. Whether it's a little overhyped or not, it's still a good job he did in New Orleans. So I think that's why he gets a little leeway. But no, he definitely deserves some blame.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.